Have you been looking for your keys to success? You have found the best place to start. We will hear from professionals on different keys to success in building huge careers in and outside the mortgage industry. These conversations that each person will share their experience will allow you to hear nuggets on finding your keys to success. I'm your host, Sue Meitner. So let's get started and grab your keys. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Grab Your Keys. I am so excited today to have a wonderful woman on our call, on our podcast, CJ Stasek. Stasek. I knew I was going to say it wrong. CJ Stasek.
It's new to me too. So
yeah, is here with us today. Well, congratulations. And she is the CEO of the One SEO Digital Agency. Also the author of She Handles It. So that is fabulous. I'm also an author, so I love talking to different people about how they decided to start their write their book. So I can't wait to hear about She Handles It. So CJ, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you help people?
Yeah, absolutely. So my primary role is the CEO of One SEO, as you mentioned, and we are a full service marketing solutions company. We are tech enabled, so we do utilize AI, and what we provide are very strategic marketing solutions for home services, health and wellness, and professional service clients. And then, as you mentioned, Sue, I am also the author of a blog called She Handles It, which is really designed to empower women to overcome their obstacles. And I am in the process of writing a book that is about the midlife awakening, which I'm really, really excited about because I do believe every woman in their professional career reaches a point in their life to where what they're doing is just no longer working for them. It starts to feel chaotic and hectic, and you're wondering why you feel lost. And it really is just an awakening. You're done, you know, helping all the people that you needed to help and being the person that everybody around you needed to be. And now you're sitting here and being like, what's left for me? Right. So that's really the premise behind She Handles It.
And what is left for me? What do you feel in your business or in professional life your three keys to success really have been?
Yeah, absolutely. And the first one is one of the hardest ones, but it really is raising your standards. So it's just realizing that you don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to do what everybody needs for you. And the second one is lead with energy. So a lot of times we don't realize how our energy that we have impacts the people around us. So as a leader, you need to show up every day with the vibe, the energy, the mindset that you want the people around you to have. And then the third one is to keep evolving. Like, we have to be constant learners if we expect to, you know, keep up with the Joneses, keep up with our competitors. So really it's raising your expectation or your standards, leading with energy, and then making sure that you continue to evolve.
So let me just dive into each one of those a little bit more. So raising your standards, where would someone even start, and how does that standard get raised?
Yeah, so the first thing is just, you know, a lot of times, especially when we are very driven individuals, we tend to just say yes to everything, even if it is beneath us. And I hate to say that because it's like, it doesn't sound nice. But if you are literally, you know, typing up, message after message, if you are filtering through spreadsheets, looking for certain data, like, it really is a big waste of your time. So raising your standards in the simple sense is, delegate to elevate the people around you so that you are focused on what you need to be focused on.
Yeah, I love that delegate to elevate. I love that.
I stole that from EOS. I wish it was mine.
Yeah, delegate to elevate. I love that. So lead with energy. It's so coincidental. I'm reading Mel Robbins' book, The Let Me. Yep. And it's a great book. And they just got to the part really on friendship and how you to pretty much decide or evolve with regards to friends. And she said that there were three aspects, and one of the aspects was energy. And I just thought it was so coincidental now that you said energy. I just listened to her book this morning. She was saying energy. How does somebody raise their energy up and lead with energy? Like, I do believe that I lead with energy. But, you know, you can tell that when somebody's talking on the telephone with you. How does someone know what their energy is and realize when they might have bad energy and make sure that they have a positive energy? Like, yeah, how do you feel that is?
Yeah. And I think it comes in two pieces, right? So the first thing is mindset. And, you know, that's what I'm all about, especially with She Handles It, is you have to wake up in the morning and you have to decide how you're going to show up, right? You have to decide what you're going to let affect you and what you're not. And if you had a bad night the day before and you carry that in, you know, it just continues to compound. But the second thing is, and Mel Robbins' book is great. I'm actually reading another one right now that's called Primal Leadership. And it's about
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Emotional intelligence, right? And being able to understand what people around you are going through. And so your negative energy is so far more attractive than that positive energy. So if I'm in a bad mood and I walk into the office in a bad mood, the people around me feel it. They're going to be on edge. They're going to be uncomfortable, and no one is as productive. So I think it is really just, it's that mindset. It's just understanding that I want to be positive. As a leader, my people need to be able to come to me with a problem, and I'm not the one that's going to be flying off the handle. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Right. Instead, it's like, I need to show them that I'm excited to solve it with them, that I'm looking forward to, you know, us getting it together. So I think there's not an easy, simple way to do it other than waking up and deciding I am not going to let the negative things that happen today affect my overall mood and how I show up for the people in my life.
Absolutely. And I love that, because for years and years and years, I always said, no matter what mood I was in, when I walked into the office, I was in a good mood. Because if I was in a bad mood, I could see the entire office change. And so I don't want to be around negative people. So I was the one making that happen. So I just was like, every day I walk in, as soon as I walk in, well, no matter what has happened, I'm in a positive place. And then evolve. What do you feel the best way to evolve is, to actually learn in any field?
For me, it's reading. We talked about books, right? And there's multiple ways to consume that content. It doesn't have to be, you know, visual. There's Audible, there's podcasts. But for me, that's kind of how I guide the evolution of myself is, you know, where am I now and where do I want to be? So you talked about reading Mel Robbins' book and, you know, and being able to let go of how other people impact you, right? I'm going to let them think what they think. I'm going to let them say what they say. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to show up how I want to show up. So I believe that you have to be very strategic with the education of yourself. If I want to learn more about paid marketing, then I need to go out and I need to do some research. I need to find the latest articles or the latest book, and I need to want to consume that information. If I am struggling to show up with a positive attitude, then I need to find those books that are going to help me realize, you know, how to continue to show up. If I feel lost, you know, I need some sort of self-help something. So your way to work and your way home from work are your best opportunities to educate yourself by just throwing in a short podcast, or if you've got a long commute, read a book, listen to a book.
Yeah, it's so funny you said that. So I was just on the phone this morning with my friend, and I was telling her that I was reading, or I was listening on Audible to the book Let Them. We have a book club. And everybody was like, I don't know when I'm going to have time to read it. And so I started listening to it when I blow dry my hair and put my makeup on. Yeah. I mean, usually as women, we're by ourselves during that time, unless you have little kids running in and out. But I'm an empty nester, so I can pop in my earbuds or listen to it while I'm putting my makeup on and then blow dry my hair. I pop on my earbuds and I blow dry my hair. And I am, you know, just not thinking, but I'm actually listening. And that is the time that is mine now.
I love that that's the time that you picked, because one of the things that I have talked about in some of my workshops is the time is one thing we cannot get more of. But we can change what we do with our time, right? So for me, I had a 40-minute commute. I love music. So I'm hopping in the car, I'm jamming, like it's, you know, it's great. But that enhances my mood, but that doesn't move me forward. So changing to where, you know, when I'm on the way to work, I'm listening to something on Audible, a podcast or a book that is getting me in the framework to walk into that office ready to go. When I'm home, yep.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I have a 7-minute commute. So my 7-minute commute makes it not be feasible most of the time because I'm on my phone. Yeah. But if I had a 40-minute commute, I would love that. I would do some music. I would do some podcast. Mm-hmm. So some blog. I think that's awesome. And I do think that you can fit time in your schedule, because you're right. We only have so much time. You can't make time.
You can't.
You just can make what you do with your time in order to evolve. What's one challenging thing that you've faced that you would share with us that makes you who you are today?
I a couple of years ago, my company was purchased by private equity. And I was CEO at the time of purchase, and I agreed to stay on for the acquisition to go through. But I don't believe that I was 100% prepared for all of the work that it would take to change that organization, right? You know, I'm like, oh, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. But the private equity firm had, you know, certain expectations, certain things. And so there was a lot of moving parts. So I think for me, you know, one of the things that I wish I had done is a little bit more research, a little bit more education up front about what would happen post-acquisition, so that I didn't have to spend a year, you know, making the adjustments, making the changes and things like that. And for me, it really was, I wasn't a business development person inside of our organization. I was the integrator. So our, you know, for the original founder, which there's not a problem with that whatsoever. However, post-acquisition, I needed to be the visionary. And unfortunately, I didn't have the community around me. I hadn't done the business development to be able to be the visionary that I needed to be. And so it took me a little while to be able to build that up. Ultimately, I figured it out. But that was probably the biggest challenge that I think that I face today is just feeling behind the eight ball when it came to that side of the fence.
Right. And it's so ironic that you say that, because I was just thinking this morning that I think people who have mergers or acquisitions or change their position from like the CEO to president, like that was mine, that when I merged with Success Mortgage Partners in 2018, I do believe that post acquisition, post merger, sometimes you really can't anticipate what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you are taking a different role. It's a different strategy. And there's really no way of preparing yourself for that. We would love to be able to prepare ourselves for it, but I don't think that I could have prepared. I just don't know. I think I know what was going to be behind that door.
Yeah, no, I
agree. Walk through it, but it would be nice to somewhat be able to have a strategy of how to do that. And I think that's a lot of the case, especially with females who change their roles within a company or change the dynamic within a company of how to learn how to do that. That's so key in the market, especially with all the mergers and acquisitions that are taking place. How do you see your industry, especially the digital marketing? It's so like hot right now, evolving.
Yeah, AI is definitely the biggest piece of what is making it evolve. And what that's changing a couple different things. So when we really think about generative AI, the first thing we think of is that, you know, replacing certain jobs within our field, right? So content writers, graphic designers, you know, things like that. And ultimately, what we found is it has not replaced them. It's just changed their role. Right. But the second piece that is changing is because of generative AI, we're starting to search differently. We're starting to look for things differently. And so what that means for us in our industry is that we've got to be a little bit more consultative. We've got to be a little bit more strategy focused, because a lot of the delivery can be done utilizing some of these tools. But that human overlay, that's what I call it, the human overlay needs to be top notch to be able to feed these bots so that the output is what you want. It's great that you can push a button and it gives you a list of keywords. Yay. But if those keywords are not on point, they don't match where your business is headed, they're not, you know, what you're looking for, it's not going to be effective. So I think that's the biggest change, is adapting, one, to what these new roles are going to look like, and two, how people are going to continue to change and evolve the search methods, because marketing has to be able to keep up with that.
And I think it can also be like your partner, practically. I think of it now, I use it way more than I ever have before. Yeah. And I think thinking of other ways and actually researching other ways of how you can utilize it is so incredibly amazing. So I love, you know, that you brought up AI. And I think that over the last couple podcasts, everyone's brought up AI, which I think is fantastic, because we're opening up more communication. And that it shouldn't be a scary thing. It should be a thing that enhances your business.
Yeah. I'll give you an example that just happened today.
I love that.
It's super relative. So a lot of people are afraid of AI because they don't want to put their information out there. They don't know where it's going. And so there's like still a lot of fear around it. However, there are use cases for it that make a huge difference. So for example, the tariffs, the changes with the tariffs because of what's going on within our government. I received an article this morning from one of my financial advisors that was really breaking down what some of these big changes are going to do and who it's going to impact and how. I uploaded it into a generative AI tool, and I asked it to tell me how it would impact One SEO. So like, what do we need to, you know, be aware of? And then I separately asked it to break down the three divisions that we serve. So the home services, health and wellness, and professional
service.
That's
great.
I said, how will it impact? So then I was able to share with my team, hey guys, this is what we need to be aware of for One SEO. Some of our clients are going to have higher costs for their containers, their tools, their this and that. So they, you know, they may have difficulty coming off with certain budgets and things like that. But then on the flip side, I was also able to educate my client success team on, hey, these are some of the obstacles our clients are going to face, and this is how we could potentially help them. So within a couple of clicks of a button and, a three paragraph prompt, I was able to get two great emails that I was able to send out.
That is amazing.
Along with that article. So now everybody has that information, and they don't have to digest complex information that is just not easily digestible.
And you're finding out what your client needs and giving it to them. So even before they want, even know they want it. So that's amazing. What piece of advice do you use all the time?
So for me, it is laugh, breathe, and reset. So I think there are so many times throughout the course of the day, and we were talking about positivity and negativity, where something happens and you can feel yourself getting frustrated. You feel your shoulders tense up. And in that moment, I like to find something that makes me laugh, right? So whether that's taking a break to talk to somebody that's funny, watching a video, listening to music, because once you laugh, you raise your vibration, and then you can actually take that deep breath and then reset, and you're right back to that positive mood that you're trying to maintain.
Yeah, this is also coincidental. You get so much when you're reading, for sure. So, and then you can draw from it so much in different conversations. So Mel Robbins said that emotion only lasts for 90 seconds or something like that. And I thought that was so amazing that she said that, because if you ride it, you can reset it. Yep. And that's wonderful that you say laugh, breathe, reset. And laughing does cure so many wounds.
And it's
really does.
It's contagious.
I love laughing. It's amazing. It is contagious. And people love to hear laughing. I always said I love to hear even a baby giggle. And then that goes through different chapters in different lives. Like, I love when my 20-somethings girlfriends come into my house and they're all like chatting and laughing. It just brings joy to my heart to see that. So you're right. Laughing cures a lot of wounds, and laugh, breathe, reset. I'm going to remember that one. So if you could mentor your younger self, what do you think you would tell her?
Trust your gut and speak up sooner.
Yeah.
Like that would be the really biggest thing. No one has it all figured out, right? We're all trying to figure out this thing called life together. It's all our first times, you know, being a human and having a human experience. So I think just being able to speak up sooner and trust your gut are the two biggest things that I would give people. You know, your gut is there for a reason. There's science behind it. There really truly is science behind it. It's not woo-woo. It's not, you know, fake. Like, you can trust your gut, and it can guide you in the best direction.
And I think trusting your gut, and people don't realize that until their later years, until their 20s and their 30s, and teaching people to trust their instincts is so important. Because they are there for a reason. And if you're in control, meaning that you understand what your body's telling you, you can really learn greatly from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how many coincidences, you know, we kind of have in this conversation, because it is one of the things that they talk about in Primal Leadership, right? Is the science behind trusting your gut. And so I really think a lot of times we know what we want, we know what we think, and we just don't feel we're in the right room to speak up. So we wait until an opportunity presents itself. So that would be my biggest thing, is just
speak up sooner. And one of the things with regards to laughing, loving, having gratitude for the laughter and the breathing and the resetting, because that all of that, everything that you've said really is raising a vibration, which is what you started talking about in the beginning of your three keys to success.
Yeah.
And then you proceeded in everything that you've said so far is really raising the vibration of a mindset of gratitude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that you're reading that book. I'm going to be my next one. Mm-hmm. I've read it before and I need to go back to it. And sometimes you do need to reread books, because you're in a different place in your life and you hear and read things differently. And sometimes reading a book is different than hearing the book.
And sometimes you're able to understand the information, but you are not physically ready to implement it.
Right.
So reading it the second time, it resonates completely differently. That happened with me with one of Eckhart Tolle's books, The Power of Now. The first time I read it, I'm like, okay, this, like, I understand it. It's great. I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going to, you know, move past the negativity, but I was not physically ready to implement those tactics. And then the second time I read it changed my life. And, you know, but it's all about timing.
It is all about timing. So what's in the future for CJ?
So a couple of different things. So one thing is that One SEO is, we are really taking advantage of the changes that are happening in our industry. And we are developing programs that really align with the clients that we serve, their goals. So instead of just coming in and saying, okay, this is the package that you can do, we align what we do for them with the goals they're trying to achieve. So there's going to be a lot more impact and a lot more growth as we move forward with One SEO. And then the second thing that I'm super excited about is I am working on that book that I told you about, which is ultimately the midlife awakening. So living life on your terms, and really kind of getting into what happens with, you know, when you get to that midlife time period, whether you're an empty nester, you're going through a divorce, something's happening and you just have lost yourself. So I'm building up a community. So anyone that's interested can definitely check out shehandlesit.com and see all of the blogs. And then soon there's going to be a place where they can sign up to join a community where like-minded women get together and figure out how we can help one another.
I love that.
And move forward.
I love that. And that actually works with our mission, because one of our imprints in from 2025 until 2030 or even beyond that is, I noticed that I do a lot of mortgages for women. And our goal is to help 500 women between now and 2030 get into homes so that they can build generational wealth, whether they have a family, whether they don't have a family. And that's really just helping build a community, because I do believe that that, you know, will help a lot of people in realizing that they can do it. You don't need to wait until you're married. You don't need to wait until you have the perfect scenario. There is no perfect scenario, especially with women at any given point in time, because we are always handling it. So I love that people can go to She Handles It. And I love that you're building that community. I'd love to be part of it.
Absolutely. So, my goal for that is 100 women, 100 empowered women, empowering women by 2026.
Oh my gosh, that's great. 100. Well, I will do everything I can to help you get to that goal. So everyone out there listening, share it, send this podcast out to everyone. And CJ, it was amazing seeing you. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to Grab Your Keys. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great day.
Thank you.